Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
My wonderful wife, LaDonna, and I are so excited to invite you to join with us at our wonderful marriage retreat to be held at Blackwater Falls, March 15 and 16. That's a Friday and Saturday. This event is sponsored by our church. You'll be able to join us as a wonderful group of couples benefits from the wisdom of Bishop Dan Garlitz. He and his wonderful wife will be with us. He'll be our featured speaker. And this event is to take place at beautiful Blackwater Falls. And it's not too late for you to take advantage of the early bird registration discount by registering online today at cac.us.com/retreat. Again, that's cac.us.com/retreat. Hope to see you there. Recently, our church was blessed with a powerful visitation of the Spirit of God during our Fresh Oil Conference. What a wonderful time of anointing. Our special guest speaker, Evangelist Mark McCool from Ocean Springs, Mississippi, was mightily used of the Lord in blessing all those in attendance. And we want to bring you part one of the first night in today's broadcast with this topic, This is the Moment You've Been Waiting For. Let's roll the tape.
Somebody shout, yeah! Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. My, 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 my. Look out, look out, look out. Oh my. I've got a dear friend that pastors in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, Dr. Roy Kraft. I don't call him doctor, I just say brother. But he has a daughter that's married to a dear friend of mine, and they pastor in Collins. But I remember when Jenica was about yay tall, and when I first got in church, I was amazed that a little bitty girl could get up in a frilly red dress and she'd get up there and her mama would be banging on the piano. And that little girl, she'd get a little attitude on when she started singing. And she used to sing a song that said, well, pardon me, my Holy Ghost is showing. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like there's some folks around here that really want to turn around and tell somebody, say, excuse me tonight, but my Holy Ghost is showing. Now, I'm not apologizing for having a good time, but I'm just letting you know that I'm feeling God in this house. And I've just come to tell you tonight, I'm feeling a whole lot of God up in here. Praise God. I think we ought to give God some glory. I think we ought to give God some praise, because I feel like God wants to do something mighty and awesome and powerful, and it'll come when we begin to really pray. Turn around and give your neighbor a high five and tell him, say, I come to have some church. Turn around, look at somebody else, say, now if you don't want to have no church, don't bother me. Tell them, don't get in my way, or you might get hurt. It won't be intentional, but you just never can tell what I might do when I go ahead and let God have his way. Amen. It's a privilege and honor to be back with you. Pastor Joseph and his precious family, his wife, backing me up on the keyboard. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I don't know about you, but I preach in so many churches in a year, and it's refreshing when you can come to a place where they'll get behind the preacher and kind of egg him on a little bit, you know. Just come on, come on, guys. Sick him, Jesus. Sick him, Jesus. Jump on him, Lord. So it's good to be here. I have been anticipating being here with you, excited about it. Give honor to Brother and Sister Claypool opening up the doors and let me hang my hat there last night. Praise God. And slept good. Amen. Even though somebody kept me up all night, praise God. I'm just picking at him. Amen. We love and appreciate them very much. And I love this church. Love the spirit that I feel. Amen. And God's about to do something great. Amen. Now, let me kind of clarify. He is already doing something great. He's already doing something great. But I'm glad that God is a perpetual God. He's a God that never sleeps. In fact, the Bible tells us that he that watcheth over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. So no matter what the problem is that you're worried about, just go ahead and go to sleep. Let God take care of it. God is more than enough. And I realize there's such anticipation in this service tonight. I want to get right into the word of the Lord. But I believe the Lord is going to just kind of tweak us a little bit. Because sometimes we can anticipate and we can expect and we can come and the power of God be present and wonderful things are on the verge of just stepping out of the unseen and becoming evident and seen. But many times we often stop just short because we lose the element of stepping through by faith. And we know that the Lord is near, but we don't take full advantage of what God is doing. And I hope that before we leave here, I can say a little bit of something that might cause you to say, hey, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to sit around here waiting on anybody to move but me. Amen. I believe the Lord wants to move for us. Praise God. And everywhere I go, and it seems like, and I admit we're getting closer to the return of Jesus Christ, but more and more, God is moving among churches that are hungry for the manifestation of the presence of God. That means they're praying, they're fasting, they're reaching, they're believing. In fact, they take a little bit long, a step further than they do more than just believe, they trust. I'll let you think about that one. But they trust. John chapter 5. Let's go to the word of the Lord. Appreciate the spirit of the Lord, the presence of the Lord tonight. And I trust that God is going to speak to us. The Lord is just awesome. Where's Zach? Brother, it is good to see you. All I could say when I read that testimony with tears running down my face was, wow. God, you are just showing out. Amen. John 5, verse 1, very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm not going to preach anything new. I'm just going to preach what I feel the Lord's directing me to preach right now. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. You never went down to Jerusalem. You go up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the firstborn. Jerusalem is the church. And I hope that you came up to church.
Amen.
Now there is at, everybody say Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
By the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. It wasn't just a small group. It was a big group of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel, everybody said, went down. I'm glad the Lord comes where we are. He came down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And there was a man, a certain man that was there that had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Now I want you to understand that sometimes we can allow the longevity of a chronic problem or situation to actually bleed us of hope, of faith. But Jesus' answer is always the same. Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered and said, Sir, I have no man. Now he could have stopped right there and he said a mouthful. Because in reality, none of us have anybody that can really do you like God can do you. He said, Sir, I have no man that when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming. Now, he was never guilty of just sitting by and just letting somebody get ahead of him and just observing. But while I am coming, I've got faith. I'm doing my best to get there, but it's just in the middle of getting there, something happens. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus never addressed his excuse. Jesus never responds to his justification. Jesus simply knows the need and speaks to his need. I've heard it preached a long time. God doesn't answer to needs. He answers to faith. I'm showing you right here. God answers to needs when faith falls short. Jesus saith unto him. Everybody say it with me. Rise. Take up thy bed. And walk. And immediately. The man was made whole. It's not going to take that long for God to do what he needs to do tonight if we'll respond. Amen. You know why? It's what I'm going to preach about. Because this is the moment you've been waiting for. This is the moment. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. This is the moment you've been waiting for. Some of you came here, you've drugged this same thing to church time and time again. You've wrestled with the same issues over and over and over again. But here you come one more time. God, I'm not guilty of not coming. But Lord, just while I am, something else happens. But I didn't come tonight to let something else get in the way. Lord, whatever you say to me tonight, that's exactly what I'm going to do. This is the moment that you've been waiting for. Put your Bibles down. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Let's ask God to minister and move as we respond to his word and to the presence of our Lord tonight. Father, we give you praise and glory right now. And I'm asking you right now to breathe afresh upon your people. I pray send the anointing that will destroy the yoke and lift the burden. I pray, Lord, let us step out of this house, Lord, upon a word of power that is able to turn every situation around tonight. And we give you glory and honor for it in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Let's clap our hands. Let's worship him and pray. God bless you tonight. You can be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Y'all ready for the Word of God? Amen. Praise God. All right. In the Word of God, we find that the Feast of the Passover was being celebrated. It was commemorating the night that the Lord would go into Egypt and he would turn the tables on Israel's enemy as they would sacrifice the firstborn lamb. at the command of God and the word of deliverance that he gave them. And I want to stop here and tell you that although you may not understand what God is doing in your life, that if you would simply obey the word of God, God will always make a way for you in spite of your lack of understanding what God's intentions really are. But the Lord has spoken to Israel through Moses, and the Lord gave command that he would deliver them, and if they would simply obey him, that God would stretch forth his hand. He would send forth the death angel into Egypt. He commanded them to take the firstborn lamb. He said, I'm going to use the element of blood, and I'm going to tell you that if you will put that blood upon the two doorposts and the lintel of the door, that I will keep the death angel at bay, and I will prepare a way for you, that if you would simply mark the door, I will bring you through the door. And so the Lord carries out his word of promise, as he said unto Moses. And while Egypt screamed and wailed in their woes of God's judgment upon them, we see how God moves Israel out of all the destruction of Egypt and on their way to their deliverance crossing the Red Sea, and how God proved once again that his power, his might, and his majesty was still greater than all of the kings of the earth. And so it was the Lord revealed his great power to deliver. But on this particular day, God once again wanted to step into a world of men whose pain had overcome their ability to get out of it. And here God tells us in his word that it is a feast day to commemorate the past. But the Lord wanted them to understand on this day that it's not what I've done in the past that's nearly as important. It's what I'm going to do today that is going to change everything about your future. I'm glad to know that God is still on the throne. I have seen God do wonderful things in the past, but I want to know the day that God is still going to move in my future, and God is going to move in my present. Because if I don't have God today, then I don't have a reason to live tomorrow. But if I recognize that God, who worked in my past, that saved me and delivered me, will work in my future today, then I know that beyond any shadow of a doubt, that if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, tomorrow's looking real good. And God's going to do some awesome things if I will just trust him and believe him today. Jesus had already been to Jerusalem. He had already moved and worked many miracles in their midst to reveal his great and awesome power, to reveal to man God's accessibility. And so powerful were the effects of his ministry that it began to open doors in the countryside. It opened doors in Galilee, in Capernaum, and many other areas around Jerusalem. And here we find that as he began to make his journey and began to be led of the Spirit, that God brings him ultimately back on a mission from the throne and brings him from the coasts of Galilee back to the city that held his heart. Jesus speaks and looks over Jerusalem. He weeps over it and says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He said, thou that killest the prophets, if you only knew who was in your midst, if you only recognized the power that had visited you, you would have given me praise, you would have given me glory, and you would have given me honor. But even in spite of the majority that really did not want him, there was a man that sat by the pool that brought miracle after miracle, and Jesus said, hey, there's somebody there that is really wanting me to do something. And if I can just get to where I'm wanted, I can show how powerful I can be. You're not hearing me. I'm telling you, church, that God shows up where he's wanted. Amen. Do you want God's address? You want God's telephone number? Here it is. He inhabits the praise. praises of his people. And when we begin to praise him, when we begin to worship, honey, there's no telling what can happen when God shows up. Woo, come on, let's worship. You can be seated. The Bible tells us that it was during the feast day that there is at Jerusalem at the sheep market pool. It was called Bethesda. It was here that Jesus shows up, coming after a long journey. And I often wondered, why did Jesus not come through the main gate of the city? Why did Jesus not come in the usual manner that any traveler would come when they walked into the city limits of Jerusalem? But it began to dawn on me that the Lord makes entrance at the closest accessible place to where he can get to where the needs are so he can reveal his power. It was here at the sheep market pool that Jesus makes his way around the walls of Jerusalem. It's at the sheep gate that Jesus enters in. Jesus, who was the lowly one. It was Jesus who came to serve. It was the Jesus that came to extend himself to those that were needy, broken, and hungry. That Jesus walks into the sheep gate, a dirty, nasty, filthy place, the place of preparation where the priests would take the lambs and the other articles of sacrifice, and they would prepare them for the feast day and the worship and the sacrifice. But here they are. They have come to the sheep market pool. Every sheep now has gone through the pool. It's now not clear. It is a very filthy pool now. It is a stinking pool. Everybody say a stinking pool. You know, sometimes God puts us in a stinking mess before he can show how great he really is. No, you're not hearing me. Sometimes God allows us to get in a mess before he can give us a miracle. He lets us go through, pardon me, hell before we get a healing. I don't know about you, but we've all been there. But I'm here to remind you that no matter where you are or how long you've been there, you got a God that's on his way to where you are. He's not going to miss this appointment. Honey, he knows where you are. But he's about to do something about changing. Hallelujah. Here at the pool of Bethesda, the Bible tells us there lay a great multitude of impotent folk, powerless people, helpless people, people that were struggling, people that were giving up hope, people that were waiting for something to take place in their life, that somehow, that maybe tomorrow will give me the answer that I seek. Here they are, impotent, powerless. The Bible said they were blind, they were halt, they were withered, but regardless of what they were and who they were, they all had the common denominator that they were waiting for the moving of the water. I don't know about you, but I'm not a very patient person. I don't like to wait sometime. You might as well just shake your head, amen, or say, oh me. I don't know what you want to say, but I'm telling you how it is with Brother McCool. Sometimes I just have to recognize, hey, oh boy, you're just going to have to hold on a little bit longer. You might not see an answer today, but honey, just as sure as God made little green apples, the sun's going to come up in the morning, honey, and God's still on the throne, and no matter how bad it gets, I got a God that still looks good. No, I'm telling you, you got a good God. He's a merciful God. He's a saving God. He's a deliverer. He's a miracle-working God. He's everything you need. He's Alpha. He's Omega. He's the beginning. He's the ending. He's, come on, he's Aaron's rod, buddy. Come on. He holds the world in his hand. Woo! I'm telling you. Some of us need to get our eyes set on who Jesus really is tonight. Some of us need to get a clear view of who our God is and who God can be. Genesis, he's the woman's seed. Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's the atoning sacrifice. In Numbers, he's the bronze serpent. In Deuteronomy, he's the promised prophet. In Joshua, he's the unseen captain of our salvation. In the book of Judges, he is our deliverer. In Ruth, he is our heavenly kinsman. In the books of Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles, he is our promised king. In Ezra and Nehemiah, he is the restorer of nations. In the book of Esther, he is our redeemer. In Job, he is our advocate. In Psalms, he's our all in all. In Ecclesiastes, he's our goal. In the Song of Solomon, he is our beloved who waits on the other side of the barriers that separate us from his power. Somebody say amen. In the book of Proverbs, he is the coming Prince of Peace. In the Gospel of Matthew, he is Christ the King. In the Gospel of Mark, he is Christ the Servant. In the Gospel of Luke, he is Christ the Son of Man. In John, he reveals him as Christ the Son of God. In Acts, he is risen, seated, and ascending. In the epistles, he is indwelling and infilling. But in Revelation, he is returning and he is reigning. He's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's still God over our situation. Come on, he still reigns over your problem. He's still got your back, baby. He's still got victory over the devil and over hell. Hey, whatever you need God for, God's here tonight to be. Hallelujah. Matthew tells us he was a preacher and a teacher. Mark said in his gospel that he was a cleanser and a healer. Luke tells us that he came to feed the hungry and to give shelter to the homeless. John reveals to us that he worked miracles and calmed the raging sea. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus is revealed as a hematologist. In Mark chapter 5, it tells us that Jesus was an oncologist. In Luke 17, he is a dermatologist. In John chapter 8, he's an ophthalmologist. In Matthew chapter 9, he's a podiatrist. In Mark 13, he's a speech therapist. And in Luke 7, tells us he's an ear, nose, and throat man. John 14 called him a social worker. But tonight, you and I have the privilege of calling him a specialist, because God specializes in absolutely everything. No matter, no, you're not hearing me. I'm telling you, God can put your marriage back together. I'm telling you, God can heal your body. God can raise the dead. You're not hot out of a whole shot. Hey, I'm telling you, sometimes we've got to remember, I've got a God who's big and bad. He is terrible, high and lofty. He is holy. He is majestic. He's everything I need. Come on, let's praise him. Come on, he's a miracle worker and a problem solver. He's Lord over cancer. He's Lord over cataracts. He's Lord over bulimia. Come on. He's Lord over Shatabahaya. He's still God over lupus. He's still God over John.
My wonderful wife, LaDonna, and I are so excited to invite you to join with us at our wonderful marriage retreat to be held at Blackwater Falls, March 15 and 16. That's a Friday and Saturday. This event is sponsored by our church. You'll be able to join us as a wonderful group of couples benefits from the wisdom of Bishop Dan Garlitz. He and his wonderful wife will be with us. He'll be our featured speaker. And this event is to take place at beautiful Blackwater Falls. And it's not too late for you to take advantage of the early bird registration discount by registering online today at cac.us.com/retreat. Again, that's cac.us.com/retreat. Hope to see you there.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.